This Mr. Nesmith from Falkirk. The meeting was opened by a young missionary and two older missionaries are to close it. There are two kinds of missionaries, they say. Distinguished missionaries and extinguished missionaries. And I'm afraid my dear brother Mr. Davis and myself are among the latter class. We have been, we are among the have-beens. But the Lord is pleased sometimes through distinguished and extinguished missionaries also to pass on his message. Now, shall we turn to the last chapter of the prophecy of Hosea? Hosea chapter 14. The last chapter of Hosea. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. In every message that has been brought before us this evening, we have been among God's vegetation. We have been thinking of the trees, and each one of the brethren has presented different aspects of those trees in that fable or parable that Jotham spoke. Now I'm going to take you to another vegetable garden, or to another mountain with trees and vegetation on it. And we have it in this chapter here. We can learn many lessons from that parable of the trees. And we can also learn many lessons when God himself ransacks the vegetable kingdom and takes us out to the mountain top and the mountain side and to the meadows underneath and reveals to us what we can become through his grace and through the operation of his Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a chapter of revival, and I'm sure we'll all agree that we need revival. It's addressed to the people of God, and as we read through God's indictments of his people in that book are more frequent than in any other prophetic book of its size. Hosea is the messenger of God to tell the people of God how they appear in the sight of a holy God. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Israel is an empty vine. Ephraim is a cake not turned again and again. And we read that grey hairs are here and there upon him, but he knoweth it not. And yet he can say about that people, I drew them with cords of love, with the cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat upon it. He can refer back to the time when he called Israel. That time when he made that people his people. That time when he showed his love toward them. That love hadn't ceased, as we can see by this last chapter. But he longs to receive them. In the earlier part of the book, right up to the end of chapter 13, God is speaking as a king whose laws have been broken. But in this last chapter, he addresses his people as a husband whose heart has been broken because of his people's transgression. Throughout this prophecy, we have a very strong, outstanding indictment repeated again and again. My people, lack of knowledge. They have not known me. It's a terrible thing when the people of God don't know their own. Isaiah started his prophecy with a very similar indictment of the people of God. I wonder if the Lord came into our midst, would he have to say that to us today? These people needed revival. And this is a chapter that brings before us revival. And I'm sure we will say that we also need to be revived. Wilt thou not revive us again? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. As we look round upon the world, we realize that we're in the last days. As we look round upon the assemblies, upon the people of God, upon those who profess to be the people of God, we have to confess that we are in the last days. We need to return to the Lord our God. The Laodicean character of the church is with us. The Laodicean character of Christendom is evident on every hand. You remember what they said? I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord comes along. He's a salesman. He's outside the door. And he's knocking at the door. He's got something for them. He says to them, you don't realize that you are poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. But I've come, and I have come with that which is going to be for your eternal benefit and for your present good during the time of your testimony for thee, for me, in this world. I counsel thee to buy of me. I've brought along these things for sale. Buy them. When you buy anything, you've got to pay for it. And it will mean a sacrifice if we're going to have these wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ has. He's outside the door. He's standing knocking. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and you can have those things that I have for sale, those articles. Gold tried in the fire. White raiment. Eye salve. Yes, I have all these to meet your need. The people of God in Hosea were saying, in chapter 12 we read, and Ephraim said, yet I have become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Rich, increased in goods, and need of nothing. It's lovely to turn from that and from those indictments to this last chapter of the prophecy of Hosea and see what God has to say for you, say to you, and say to me. As we look down the chapter, we find that the first three verses might be called the prologue. The prologue to the chapter. Then from verses 5 down to 7, those five verses, four, five, six, and seven, we have the monologue. God himself is speaking to his people. In verse 8, we have a dialogue. Ephraim shall say, and then God answers. A double dialogue in verse 8.
And in verse 9 we have the epilogue. There is the division of the chapter. The prologue, the monologue, the dialogue, and the epilogue. Four things brought before us in this last chapter of Hosea. Now, let us divide it up into the presentation that we have and that what God wants us to have for ourselves, and he wants his people to put before his people. Now, first of all, take with you words. The words we are to bring. The words they were to bring. The words that you and I are to bring. Secondly, I will, verses 4 and 5, God's promises, the blessings that we may receive. And then he says, he shall grow, his branches shall spread, his beauty shall be, and so on, the people we may become. The words we must bring, the blessings we may receive, and the people we may become. What kind of words does God expect? Our brother who spoke first said that we should confess our sins and our failures to the Lord. It's true. He says to you and me through his servant, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here are the words that we must bring. Words of confession. Words of repentance. Take away all iniquity. We know that our sins are forgiven, but it's just possible that there may be iniquity in our lives. It's possible that while we're reigning as kings, our lives are not in keeping with the profession that we make. Yes, take away iniquity. Come, return unto the Lord. It was when Peter was about to slip and deny his Lord that the Lord said to him, when thou art converted. Yes, we say I was converted when I was saved. Yes, but sometimes we need to be converted again and again. Peter needed to be converted. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Turn, that simply means, come back to me. Come back in heart. You came to me as a poor, guilty sinner. You received the forgiveness of sins. You shared the blessings of the gospel. And you experienced the outflowing of my grace to you in your lives. But you've got cold in heart. You've forgotten God. Israel hath forgotten our Maker, we read. And he says, come back and bring with you words. O Israel, return unto the Lord. Take with you words. Words of repentance. And say, receive us graciously. We've gone astray. We've come back. Lord, receive us graciously. Words of supplication. And then, so will we render the calves of our lips. Words of thanksgiving. Words of gratitude. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, confessing to his name. Take with you words. Are we willing to come? And alone in his presence, or as an assembly too, as assemblies when we meet together for our prayer meeting, are we willing to come with words of confession, the words we must bring? And then we have the blessings we may receive. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. I will be as the dew upon Israel. We have the goodness of God's activity. I will heal their backsliding. The graciousness of God's attitude. I will love them freely. the gentleness of God's approach, I will be as the Jew. The Jew that follows so gently, falls so gently, and yet it brings forth in the life those fruits that God wants. You remember our brother who spoke first, spoke of the fruitfulness. That fruitfulness that was to be more and more abundant, much fruit. That fruitfulness that was to be abiding, fruit that will remain. Yes, I will be as the Jew. And the Jew in the Old Testament again and again is a picture of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 133, unity among brethren is like the unity of the Spirit. The Jew falls on the Mount Hermon in the north, Mount Zion in the south, the same Jew. Yes, the Holy Spirit can produce unity. There's a great lack of unity. We need the Jew among us in the assemblies. In our individual lives, we need the Jew for fruitfulness. We often ask for showers of blessing. Yes, but the Jew, the gentle, falling Jew, must come first. And then later on we'll get the showers of blessing. We have the goodness of God's activity. I will heal your backsliding. The graciousness of God's attitude. I will love you freely. And the gentleness of God's approach. I will be as the Jew. And then the people that we may become. Now he says about Israel, and we might apply it to ourselves. He shall grow as the lily, fair in beauty as the lily. He shall cast forth his roots as Lebanon, as those trees, those cedars of Lebanon, casting forth their roots, deeply grounded and rooted in the ground. Yes. Firm as the cedars of Lebanon. Then his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive, fat as the olive. You remember the olive said in that parable, shall I leave my fatness, producing the oil, that beautiful, that wonderful oil that was the sign of fatness. And then, and his smell shall be as Lebanon, fragrant as those spices, those spicy plants that grow on the mountaintop. God says to his people, you come out with me. Come and walk with me. We'll be agreed if you come and bring these words. And if you want my blessing, I'm going to take you. And he takes us, first of all, down into the valley, and he shows us the lily growing there in its beauty. He said, I'll make you like the lily, fair as the lily. We sometimes sing the chorus, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me, fair as the lily. And then he says, but now I'm going to take you up to the mountaintop. And there you will see on the mountain, on the slopes and on the top of the mountain, you'll see the cedars growing. There on Lebanon, on that hill. Lebanon, I believe, was a valley, the valley of Lebanon. But then on either side of the valley, the hills sloped up to the top. And so we have the firmness of the cedar. And then we go down to the olive groves, and there we see the olive trees. And now he says, you look round and you can enjoy that lovely fragrance. Is the fragrance of Christ seen in us? Has he given us that fragrance in our life? The whole house was filled with the odour of the ointment, the fragrance of that worship. of that devotion? Is our devotedness fragrant to God? Is it fragrant to others? Here we have another picture that we have in Psalm 133, the fragrant oil. Yes, that fell on Aaron's head, went down to his beard, and to the skirts of his garments. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The fragrance of unity. Why? Not only will the people of God everywhere be impressed if that fragrance is upon us, but the world will see it. And now they say, oh, these are Christians. So divided. Divided in every way. And quarreling among themselves. They'll say, oh, there's an example of unity. They all seem to be working together. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And it will be fragrant. Even to the man of the world. Fragrance. Then look over the meadows, flourishing as the corn. They shall revive as the corn. And then down to the vineyards, they shall grow as the vine, fruitful as the vine. We've already been reminded of the fruitfulness of the vine. And then we come to verse 8. I said that here we had a dialogue. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? God says, I've heard him. I've heard him say that. He's given it up. Left all those idols. There are more idols, you know, than the idols that the Hindu folks out in India worship, or that the people of Africa worship. More kinds of idols than that. You may have an idol in your heart, the dearest idol I have known. Whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from its throne and worship only thee. And then Ephraim says again, I'm like a green fir tree, fresh as the cypress tree, as the fir. And God says, yes, you're going to produce fruit for me now. And you'll get it from me. From me is thy fruit found. That is the closing dialogue. You notice how it's applied, the epilogue. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. We've come to the close of a conference. And many of you have been at the other meetings. The Lord has graciously ministered his word. Are we going to go away from this annual conference just as we came? Or are we individually and as our assemblies, are we going to take with us those words of which the Lord speaks? Are we going to receive the blessings that he's so anxious to bestow? Are we going to be changed and become the people fair as a lily, firm as a cedar, fat as the olive, fragrant as the spices of Lebanon, flourishing as the corn, fruitful as the vine, and fresh as the cypress? What are we to do with idols? There's a lovely hymn in our hymn book. Let me quote it. Sometimes we sing it. Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart? Chief among 10,000s own him. Joyful, choose the better part. Idols, once they won thee, charmed thee. Lovely things of time and sense. Gilded, thus doth sin disarm thee. Honeyed, lest thou hie thee hence. What has stripped the seeming beauty from the idols of the earth? Not the sense of right or duty, but a sight of peerless worth. Not the crushing of those idols, with its bitter void and smart, but the beaming of his beauty, the unveiling of his heart. Who extinguishes their taper till they hail the rising sun? Who discards the garb of winter till the summer has begun? 'Tis that look that melted Peter. 'Tis the face that Stephen saw. 'Tis the heart that wept with Mary can alone from idols draw. Draw and win and fill completely till the cup o'erflows its brim. What have we to do with idols who have companied with him? Shall we pray?